The French paradox refers to the very low incidence of and mortality rates from ischemic heart disease in France, despite the fact that saturated fat intakes, serum cholesterol, blood pressure, and prevalence of smoking are no lower than elsewhere. A variety of questions have been posed in response to this idea, one of the more popular, of course, being that red wine is good for your health. Whether this is driven by people looking to get healthier, or maybe just a justification after that glass of wine, this debate has caused quite a stir. And for good reason. Wine is popular, and hey, while I'm drinking it, I can get healthy. Then comes along a little molecule called resveratrol, which was deemed the, quote, magic bullet that would explain the connection between red wine and various health outcomes. But like anything that seems too good to be true, resveratrol doesn't paint a complete picture. My name is Devin Box, and on today's episode, we're going to dive into wine consumption and health with hashtag resveratrol. Let's get into it. Resveratrol is a naturally occurring molecule in a group called phytoalexins. These chemicals are produced by several plants, mainly in response to injury. For wine, that is, resveratrol is produced at the end of a grape's lifespan and is found in the highest concentrations in the skin. Resveratrol has been shown to have anti-inflammatory, anti-proliferative or tumor, and antioxidant effects. It really is, or sounds like, a super molecule. Now, all of these findings are accurate in a test tube, and even some of them have been found to be true in humans. Resveratrol has been shown to have a positive influence on, well, pretty much everything. Things like breast cancer, bone growth, glucose metabolism, kidney function, fertility, and has even been shown to have benefits in the brain. But many of these studies all lacked one thing. External validity. External validity refers to how well the outcome of a study can be expected to apply to other settings, in our case, the real world. It's one thing to prove something in a highly controlled lab. It's another to prove that same thing translates to the real world. The amount of control you have in a study loosely relates to the external validity. The more control you have, the more internally valid you are, meaning that you can directly isolate the effects of your treatment. However, these conditions are oftentimes not like the real world at all, so they lack external validity. This reciprocal nature often means that highly controlled studies are used to identify the theoretical effects of a therapy, and highly externally valid studies are used to validate or refute these findings in the real world. Now keep in mind that much of the research on resveratrol is not trying to trick you. They're just highly internally valid. The vast majority of authors in this research field never mention drinking wine every day. It's what consumers and media outlets do with this knowledge. It's a faulty interpretation due to our, pun intended, thirst for the answer. It's an example of the explosive mixture of science and our more emotional side that wants particular answers. But to put it plainly, there really isn't that much evidence that diets high in resveratrol have any connection to the health benefits mentioned earlier. In many of the studies we mentioned earlier, participants were supplemented with high amounts of resveratrol over long periods of time. And other studies took human products or human cells and tested those in other conditions outside of the body, and again, outside of the real world. These outcomes may connect to dietary consumption in theory, but that's not nearly enough to recommend alcohol consumption every day. The vague reporting of these types of findings are what cause people to interpret resveratrol-containing foods as a type of daily health therapy, which is just not true. Based on our best current knowledge, One research paper estimates the amount of various foods you'd have to consume in order to reach the hypothetical 1 gram per day of the therapeutic dose of resveratrol. Some examples are 2,857 kilograms per day of chocolate, 2,500 kilograms per day of apples, 52.6 kilograms per day of tomatoes, and of course, our favorite, 505 to 2,762 liters of red wine per day. Now, with this new perspective, do we think it's reasonable to consume that much food just to get resveratrol? What about all the other health risks associated with such a narrow diet? But if you read a headline that says, quote, compound in red wine shown to reduce chances of heart disease, it technically is true, because that compound is associated with some of those health benefits that have been validated in very internally controlled studies. But again, with the external validity, it's not the entire picture. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hashtag Health. If you liked it, please consider giving us a rating or review and subscribing to our show. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Hashtag Health Podcast or send us a like on Facebook. My name is Devin Box, and I'll catch you on another episode of Hashtag Health.